Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
You are the light in my dark world. You are the fire that will always burn. You are the light. You are the light. You are the light in my dark world. Oh, how you shine in my time of darkness. Oh, how you shine when everything seems hopeless. You know how to help me when I can't stand on my own. Don't let go now. You are the light in my.
Good morning. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And before we get started, just a couple of things going on in town. So this morning, started at 8 o'clock, the Smartscape Expo at the Laguna Beach County Water District, right in downtown on Forest, right by City Hall. And it's going to be going on till 4, and they're going to be promoting water conservation. There'll be a lot of gardeners and succulents and drought-tolerant landscape advice. There'll be a lot of people doing irrigation. There's going to be prizes, food, music, and I'll even be there representing KX93.5 at the Smartscape Expo. So that's going on now, and it'll go on till 4. Stop by on your way to or way back from the farmer's market and check out all the things they have going on there. And then last but not least, on December 2nd, KXmas is our fundraiser for this year. We're going to be at the Irvine Bowl Festival of Arts grounds to hear classic music from Eric Burdon and the Animals. That's December 2nd, 2017 at the Irvine Bowl. Doors open at 5. Show starts at 7. And all proceeds will benefit local nonprofits, including the Friendship Shelter, the Chamber of Commerce, and KX93.5. Tickets are on sale now. Go to kx93.5.com and / KXmas, and hope to see you there. Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman, and today my guest is Jennifer Ponce, and she is from Laura's House.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, let's try that again.
Hi, good morning.
Oh, that's much better. Okay, so I guess we should just take it from the top. What exactly is Laura's House?
So Laura's House is a domestic violence agency, a nonprofit agency based out of South Orange County, California. And we offer comprehensive services to women, men, children, victims of domestic violence.
Okay. And how long have you guys been doing that?
We've been doing that for about 23 years now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And how did it get started?
So Laura's House began because there was an actual woman named Laura who wasn't very old when she was murdered by her spouse.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a really tragic story. Not the first time she had reached out to law enforcement or, you know, reached out for help and assistance, possibly from, you know, speaking to her family or right. calling the police, things like that. But she really wasn't aware of any resources that were available to her.
And there wasn't a place for her to go. So she was ending up going right back
into the same situation. And even if there was a place to go, not a lot of people talked about this. I mean, domestic violence used to be a topic that nobody addressed. Unfortunately,
well, sure.
Now
the police would just kind of come and tell you guys to stop it.
Move on.
Yeah.
A lot has changed since then. But Laura's death is really what sparked the interest in the community. They were able to come together. It was a coalition of women, including Laura's mother. And that's how Laura's House got its start, to create a safe place in our area where someone could go to get help and seek refuge if they were living with violence in their home.
Okay. And so the mom and some of these people got together. How did they know what to do? How did they put together their program?
That's a great question. I'm not sure how they exactly knew what to do, but I know that they pulled together and utilized each other's strengths to be able to make it a community effort to get Laura's House up and running. And it started with a resale store, and you know, it's a grassroots movement. It still very much is.
Okay, so that's how they fund or part of their I guess a sustainability part of it is that they have a store.
We have two now, actually.
Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. We have one in San Juan Capistrano. We have another one in Lake Forest. And they're really awesome stores. They're more like boutiques, selling really great items. I love going there and shopping there. So someone should check that out. If you have not been to the store, you should go to the store.
Okay. Yeah. And so you have an actual Laura's House, or are there different facilities around?
Yeah, so North we County. we do have a shelter. Our shelter is in a safe, confidential location, and that's for the safety and protection of our survivors and also sure. for the other families that we work with and house. We have our corporate headquarters, which also houses our counseling and resource center, where people can come in and get counseling, therapeutic services, legal advocacy help, and that's in Ladera Ranch. That's where okay. our headquarters is.
And about how many people are involved now? So it started with a handful of people, mm-hmm. and how many people are involved in the effort of supporting domestic violence survivors or escapees?
As far as people involved with helping in the movement, in the domestic violence movement, I mean, there are hundreds of thousands if we look at the nation or
sure,
even the state.
Sure, sure.
For Laura's House, we do have a fairly big agency. Employees-wise, I think there's probably 75 to 80 of us. And then
oh my gosh.
Volunteers, we have in the hundreds. And there's lots of people who are
and
really
and unfortunately,
dedicated.
There's a need for that many.
Oh, yeah.
That amount of service.
Yeah, there is. There's definitely a need.
And so is that, let's see. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be back with more from Jennifer Ponce of Laura's House. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show, and we will be right back.
You know it just can't. Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Whoa, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Been walking my mind to an easy time, my back turned towards the sun. Lord knows when the cold wind blows, it'll turn your head around. Well, there's hours of time on the telephone line to talk about things to come. Sweet dreams and flying machines in pieces on the ground. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you, baby, one more time again now. Thought I'd see you one more time again. There's just a few things coming my way this time around now. Thought I'd see you.
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And today I am happy to have in studio as my guest, Jennifer Ponce of Laura's House. And Laura's House supports domestic violence survivors by providing them shelter, providing them other resources. And it was started because there was an actual Laura. Right?
Yep, exactly. And I think something that's really important to note is that we do have a 24-hour hotline. A lot of times I get asked, like, how do we access these programs and services that Laura's House has to offer? And that's key, because if people have that number, then they can reach us and they can get the help that they need.
Right, anytime that they need. So
anytime.
They don't have to wait till 8:30 when you guys open up.
It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that number is 866-498-1511. Again, 866-498-1511. And I always tell everyone, you know, put that number in your phone, because you just never know, not only for yourself, but what if you happen to see something, a friend, a cousin, whomever. But you can call that number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's a trained, certified advocate who's going to answer that call, and they can either connect you to our resources. There might be other resources available, but it's really important to know that there's help out there.
Okay, and so the story of Laura is that there wasn't help out there, and it ended in tragedy. And so her mom and some of her people decided to do something so that there would be resources for people.
Yeah.
So,
well, if there was help out there, she wasn't aware of it.
Right.
The thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so one is, I guess, getting that message out there.
Yes.
But also, I think we touched on it that culturally, at that time, about 23 years ago, you were saying, people weren't really receptive, or as a community, we didn't embrace the victims of domestic violence. We kind of wanted it to go away.
Yeah, no one was having the conversation. It was just so taboo. And it's kind of like right now, you know, violence against men, that's where violence against women was 20 years ago. And same thing for violence against our kids and teens. So part of that prevention education is just understanding that victims can come in all shapes and sizes. And part of our job as prevention education specialists is making sure that people, you know, can identify by helping them understand the dynamics of domestic violence. What do the victims look like? What do the perpetrators look like? Because honestly, it can be anyone.
Wait, so, you know, I think everyone is comfortable with the image of the mom with kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, needing some kind of shelter. So you're saying the shoe fits on the other foot?
Oh, yeah, definitely it does. And even for our young men, and I think you were talking about culture a little bit ago and the way we perceive things. But, you know, in our culture, like you said, there are some stereotypes when we think of the words domestic violence. You know, I like to use the word intimate partner violence because it's all encompassing, you know,
okay.
Of men, women, children, seniors, you know, because anyone can be a victim. In fact, I was giving a presentation. We have this amazing program called HEART, which stands for Healthy Emotions and Attitudes in Relationships Today. And this is the program we provide on middle school, high school, college campuses. And during one of our presentations, I was at a high school. It was game day. This young man was in his football gear. He sat in the front row. And as I started talking about violence against men and boys, he put his head down and he mumbled something. And I asked him, like, you know, what did you say? Because I couldn't hear him. And he mumbled it again. And I was like, what was that? And he mumbled again. And I'm like, I still can't hear you. You know, and I felt bad because I felt like I was embarrassing him. But he looked up at me with the most, you know, serious look in his eyes. And he said, no one would believe me. No one would have believed me. And that is so tragic. So part of our work, too, is to making sure that, you know, that anyone who is experiencing this is, you know, they're okay and they understand that it's not something that's abnormal, no matter your gender, no matter your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter. There are victims everywhere.
So for him, he must have felt especially isolated.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like he said, no one would understand.
Yeah.
No one would believe this. How could you tell the story of the big strapping, you know, giant kid?
Exactly. And it creates barriers for people. And that's why, you know, our message in prevention education is just so important, because we want to eliminate some of those barriers so that they do feel comfortable giving us a call, you know, utilizing these valuable resources that are there. We just opened up a secondary location in Garden Grove, our domestic violence advocacy center.
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about that, because we've, I guess when you think of Laura's house, you think of a refuge.
Yeah.
And that aspect of it, a place where you can go and find shelter and get away from the abusive situation, where whatever that is.
Yeah.
But there's much more to it.
Oh, yeah. There, like I said, we offer, you know, comprehensive services. So we offer services for everything in addressing this issue and for each individual. They're at different stages of what they're needing help with when they're leaving. Some people don't necessarily need shelter, but they do need therapy, or they need counseling, or they want that for them and their child, or they need legal assistance. At our DVAC, that's where our legal advocates, that's where they are. They're right by the courthouse. They help people with restraining prep. They help them get to the courthouse. They sit with the victim throughout the entire process until they get that restraining order so that they're safe and protected. So that's what Laura's house is here to do.
Okay. And let's, and you're just in Orange County. You're just working in Orange County at this point.
So we're based out of Orange County, but we can serve anyone coming from any location. So say there's someone from Los Angeles or out of state. And a lot of times that's even safer because you're creating distance between the victim and the perpetrator.
Okay.
So we do work with people from all over.
And I think earlier we were touching on culture, and that, you know, some cultures are different, and that you're doing actually some outreach in Africa, right?
Yeah. Our message is going international. We met a young man named Cott last year. We gave a presentation at Vanguard University, and he was there on a scholarship. And the whole purpose of him being here was to learn more about culture and the way that we handle these social injustices or social issues, to take it back to his country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's really passionate about women, women's rights, women's empowerment, and violence against women, because in his country, women have zero rights.
Right.
Yeah.
It's almost property.
Oh, they are property. He said that, you know, we purchase our spouses with a dowry. He himself purchased his wife with a dowry. And women have no rights in the court. So when they try to leave, they're left with nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I guess it's even different. I mean, what are you going to do with your life? You know, there's not a whole lot of opportunity. And mm-mm. So if you don't get married.
Yeah. Where, what do you do?
Right. And so then if you're in an abusive situation, what even concept of what to do would you have?
Well, that's the tricky part, because resources are already scarce in that country. We know they deal with a lot of famine and poverty, and that's where a lot of the funding and resources are there. So Cott has had to strategize. And after our presentation, he said the thing that impressed him the most was that he saw an educated woman in his classroom teaching him about the way women should be treated.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So then it's not just the words, but the actual shining example.
Exactly.
That would be you, Laura. Yeah. Jennifer.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and our team. And he came down to Laura's house to just learn a little bit more. And this story was actually in the Orange County Register. It made front page, which was awesome because it's such a positive story. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's nice to get that kind of recognition.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, and especially for his efforts since he's kind of working against the grain. Like I said, resources are scarce. So a lot of the funding necessarily isn't in these types of issues because they're trying to deal with people who have no homes or food.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But what we do is we Skype with him since he has returned to South Sudan. It's a brand new country, 5 years old, and he spends time Skyping with me and my team to get guidance, and he shares with us his struggles and where he's needing help and assistance and to get some encouragement, and we've been able to offer that type of support to him. And at least just, you know, giving him some encouragement when we ourselves have maybe had a bad day or we're not getting across to people. And I can only imagine with, you know, what he's facing.
Yeah, your bad day.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I wish I had that kind of day.
Yeah. He's just amazing. What he's done as he has gone into like the marketplace, and that's where he's been able to talk about healthy relationships.
Right.
He even goes to weddings.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah, right.
He goes to weddings.
The
but
guy's
he's like,
well, I paid already.
But he wants to be where the people are and where that message is needed.
Sure,
and it's
sure.
been well accepted. He's working in the schools with young people, kind of like what we're doing, hoping to shape their minds and their thoughts and ideas around relationships so that by the time they're adults, they're not necessarily needing all of these services. They're helping us in this prevention effort by shifting, you know, the focus and breaking that cycle of violence for them.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So we've kind of talked about the broader mission and we've talked about the organization, but let's talk a little bit about you. How did you get involved in this?
So I've been with Laura's House for about 4.5 years now, okay. And my passion has always lied with victims of violence.
Really?
And yeah, I myself am a survivor also from that teen, like young adult age.
Okay, okay.
And, you know, that for me was a long, long time ago, but my background is in public health and public health intervention and programs and just, you know, having that passion for that demographic and then having my background in health promotion and in prevention is something that I've always, you know, really strived to wanting to do in my life. And so it's been wonderful being able to work at Laura's House. I started my career on the hotline and then was moved into prevention education, which is where my passion lies. So I love the opportunity that I have to be out every day talking to people about healthy relationships, safe dating, understanding, you know, why it happens, what it looks like, how to get help, how to get access to these resources. Those are things I wish I had when that happened to me 10 years ago.
Right.
But now, you know, it's been wonderful to work for such an amazing agency and with the best people.
And I guess as a person who's had that personal experience, there is life on the other side, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have more from Jennifer Ponce of Laura's House. And this is the Importance of Being show on KX93.5.
So sad, the tears are in your eyes. Come on and come to me now. But don't be ashamed to cry. Let me see you through. 'Cause I've seen the dark side too. When the night falls on you, you don't know what to do. Nothing you confess could make me love you. Even if you're wrong,
Okay, we're back. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Saturday morning from 8 to 9. And today I have as my guest Jennifer Ponce with Laura's House. And they provide resources and shelter for domestic violence survivors. And I think you wanted to say that October is
Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Okay. So, yeah. And when we left off, you mentioned a couple of things that I wanted to drill down into or get a closer look at. One was safe dating. So getting out ahead of this problem before it evolves, and also healthy relationships.
Yeah.
So you spend a lot of time going out and sharing those messages. What are those messages?
Yeah, that's we do. We spend a lot of time out in the community talking to young people, even adults and community members about, can you hear me?
Yeah,
healthy relationships and safe dating. So part of that, you know, is like I mentioned, you know, we talk to young people, teens, and adults also about what is domestic violence? You know, why does it happen?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, it's a very good question. And what it all comes back to is power and control. The fact that the perpetrator has a need.
So it's not necessarily physical. It can take on a number of forms.
It can take on a number of forms. So, and that's something also that we make sure to address, because a lot of times when we think of domestic violence, we think of bruising and injury and,
sure, black
and
eyes.
Physical. Yeah. Yeah. But it's also very verbal, emotional, name callings, breaking your self-esteem, putting you down, especially with our young people. We see a lot of cyber and digital abuse right now. That is huge.
Yes, I guess that's, I had on someone recently that was doing cyber bullying.
Okay, yeah.
And that's the big difference between bullying in the past, with you could go home.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just have to wait till tomorrow for them to bother you again. But now it comes right home with you.
Yep, comes home with you and it's right in your pocket, because we all have access to our smartphones. So for a lot of these kids, it's just right there in their face. And, you know, they're using that as a weapon. You know, sometimes we see things like partners saying, well, that photo that you sent me, if you break up with me, I'm going to share it. I'm going to send it online. I'm going to text it out, threatening each other using text, keeping tabs on their partner, making them check in at certain locations. You know, you'd be surprised, but there's a lot of ways that they're using this to gain that power and control over their victim.
So how does Laura's House define domestic violence?
So we define domestic violence as a pattern of behavior that involves power and control, and that can include physical abuse, sexual abuse, mental or psychological, verbal, financial, spiritual, or digital and cyber abuse.
Okay. And again, going back to safe dating and healthy relationships, how do you get out ahead of that? What kinds of advice do you give people?
Well, our number one message is understanding and identifying the red flags, because these relationships, they're very gradual when they start off. I mean, I always tell my teens, it's not like you meet someone, they're good looking, they take you on a date, and out of the blue, they just punch you in the face. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you're,
you know,
like, check, please.
Yeah, that's not what it looks like. It's something it progresses very slow and very steadily. So with little things, like, you shouldn't wear that dress, you're getting too much attention. You know, I'd rather you spend more time with me and less time with your friends. And we see, like, as these victims kind of try to take that power and control back, things tend to escalate and they get worse. So it'll start off as verbal abuse and emotional, okay, and then it leads into the more serious types of abuse.
Okay, and so there's patterns, I guess, that start to show.
There's patterns, and also something that we call red flags, and that's something we really want people to know, especially our teens. What are those red flags? Is your partner jealous? Do they try to threaten you? Do they try to coerce you into doing things you're not comfortable with? You know, what is their reputation like? Does this person have friends? How do they treat their peers? How do they treat their parents?
I guess, you know, if they're isolating you, they're probably isolated themselves a little bit.
Possibly. And that's, we know, one of the big ways that they get power and control over their victim, by isolating them from their support system, from their confidants, their friends, their family.
Right. People who would say, oh, no.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Swipe the other direction.
Exactly.
And so Laura's House has been in operation for 23 years, and you have a number of services that you're offering, from legal assistance to shelter to what have you. Is there anything that's really changed in the landscape of California or our society?
Yeah, actually, there's some important policy changes that have taken place.
Try to lob that softball.
Yeah.
Slow pitch.
So as you mentioned, we do a lot of work in prevention, education, identifying, and we've had some really exciting news come our way. Last Saturday, Governor Brown signed into law AB 643, which mandates all students in middle schools and high schools in the state of California to get this healthy relationship education, and they have to learn about dating violence. And then also AB 326 was just passed, which mandates our cosmetologists and our salons so that as they're getting licensed, they also need to be trained in domestic violence.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they're I guess someone who spends time with people.
Yep.
And they talk about stuff.
Yep,
exactly. And so they should have some idea of what these unhealthy signals might be.
Yeah, and it looks different for like a hairstylist, for instance. You know, they spend a lot of time with their clients and they build that trusting relationship. And that's why this was so important. So we go out and we train stylists in how to assess, you know, do you notice that your client is maybe reporting things to you that sound unhealthy, like that cycle we just mentioned?
Right.
Some of those behaviors. Have you noticed maybe patches of hair missing?
Are they
constantly on their phone having to check in? Is someone waiting for them all the time? You know, and we just want them to be able to identify so that they can say, hey, you know, it looks like something might be going on. I don't know, but here's a number you can call just in case it is. You know, I know this is a common issue,
right. But
we're teaching them to be able to assess and then be able to refer so that these people, wherever they may be, so that they're getting the education and the information they need to be able to access
so
our services.
Breaking into that. Isolation, breaking that cycles of isolation.
Breaking some of those barriers, too, to information.
Okay. And so you, Laura's House is an organization. If people are interested in getting involved or you know, now that this is that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, what kind of opportunities are there for people who want to help?
Yeah, well, we love our volunteers, and we always need volunteers. So we offer a 40-hour training 3 times a year, March, June, and in October. We just started one last night. So if you're interested in volunteering with Laura's House, you can go to our website, which is laurashouse.org, and it says get involved, and you'll find information there about our training, about our volunteering. Also, we have some events coming up this month because it is DV Awareness Month. We have an event today, actually, October 14th at 12 p.m., Grit Cycle is hosting a charity ride for Laura's House. You can find out more information about that on our website. And also tomorrow, if you're into yoga, Yoga Works in Newport Beach is also doing a donation class from 1 to 3 tomorrow for Laura's House.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some exciting stuff. And we have a campaign, an online campaign right now. It's called Paint It Purple. So if you check out our Facebook or our Instagram, you'll see that we've encouraged people to paint their nails or a nail if they would like. Purple, and then using the hashtag Paint It Purple, making a small donation to Laura's House, and then tagging 3 of your friends and encouraging them to do so, because it just kind of, it helps get this momentum started and keeping it going and people having the conversation during Domestic Violence Awareness Month, helping us shed a light on this topic and why it's just so important.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, again, for the victims, they can feel very isolated and alone in the world, and without this message being out there, they might never get out, right?
No, they might not. And if anyone's interested in booking a presentation, they are free. And we offer different ones. We offer our HEART program for young people. We have Domestic Violence 101. And then we can do quick stuff where we're just talking about who we are. And you can book those online by actually going to our teen site, which is laurashouse.org/LHteen. There's a little button that says book a presentation, and you'll have me or one of our prevention educators. We have some fabulous educators who are able to come out and share this message and educate on domestic violence and how to get help and more about the work that we do.
Well, I'm certainly glad that you're out there. And if there was a few things that you could tell someone who's not sure that they're in a situation or is starting to have a question in their mind about whether their relationship is healthy, are there any quick advice or quick measures that you can give them to look at, you know, to compare their relationship with maybe healthy ones or not healthy ones?
So as much as we talk about what an unhealthy relationship looks like, we want to make sure people know what a healthy relationship looks like.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about
that. So when we talk to people about why it happened, sometimes, you know, we'll ask them, you know, we ask them, what are some of the excuses we've heard in society? Like maybe it's alcoholism or anger, which can definitely play a role. Or maybe this person loves me so much and they're just so jealous they don't want to lose me. So that's where we talk about love and what love actually is, because it is an action word. And that involves having trust in the relationship, respect in the relationship, and safety. So, you know, we ask people, take a look at your relationship. Do you feel that you can trust your partner? Do they trust you? There's really no reason to keep tabs on someone, question them if it's a healthy relationship.
Right.
Also respect. You should respect your partner. That means they respect you. And then safety. Do you feel 100% safe in this relationship? Do you feel like you're being put down or made to feel dumb? Do you feel unsafe? Has this person threatened you? And those are some ways and kind of guides that you can use to analyze your own relationship. It doesn't mean that you can't have a perfectly healthy relationship and disagree with your partner.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not the absence of disagreements or
exactly.
Or you can argue.
Yeah.
But there's a healthy way to do that.
There's healthy communication. There's taking a break. There's healthy conflict resolution, which is all great. And those elements of trust, respect, and safety will be there. So, you know, that's an important key, too, is understanding that those are the components of a healthy relationship.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for being part of Laura's House and helping the people that you're helping.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me this morning. It's been great.
Okay. So before we go, just one more time, why don't you give out the hotline number?
Okay.
And then the website.
Awesome. So our hotline number is 1-866-498-1511. You can check out our website at www.laurashouse.org or our teen site, which is laurashouse.org/LHteen.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. This is KX93.5. You've been listening to The Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. I'll be back next week with another exciting show. And thank you, Jennifer, for being on the show. Jennifer Ponce of Laura's House. This is KX93.5. Coming up next is Craig Cooley with Rainbow Radio. And I will be out at the Smartscape Expo for the Laguna Beach Water District, right in the center of downtown. So if you're in the area or at the farmer's market, drop on by and say hello. All right, KX93.5.
We used to laugh, we used to cry, we used to bow our heads then, wonder why. Now you're gone, I guess I'll carry on. The best of what you've left to me, left to me, left to me. I need you like the flower needs the rain, you know. I need you. Guess I'll start it all again, you know. I need you. Like the winter needs the spring, you know. I need you, I need you. And every day I'd laugh the hours away, just knowing you were thinking of me. And then it came to blame for every story told about me, about me. I need you like the flower needs the rain, you know. I need you. Guess I'll start it all again. You know, I need you. I need you. I need you. Like the winter needs the spring, you know. I need you. Guess I'll start it all again, you know. I need you. I need you. I need you. Like the flower. Rain, you know, I need you.
start it all again. You know I need you. I need you. I need you. Like the winter needs the spring.